Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Umatikoff. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled My People Perish from Lack of Knowledge, a Postmodern Antinihilistic Meditation. I wanted to speak from the Book of Amos this morning because of its contemporary relevance. Yes, it is an ancient book written many centuries ago, and yet there is within this box and within this book much that elucidates or opens our understanding about our contemporary time. And I say this because we live in a time of disinformation in which individuals are purposely led astray by what they believe to be coherent insight or information about what they see and what they hear. And, of course, it is all a trick. And it is all manipulation. And so in order to have clarity, in order to have a real understanding about where we live and what is going on, we turn to divine revelation. And the word revelation means to, as the name implies, means to reveal or to unfold. And so, Amos, that is, the prophecy of Amos, was written between 760 B.C. and 750 B.C. the nation of, that is, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, had by the time of Amos been divided had existed for about 150 years. Excuse me. Israel struggled against Assyria to the north, and the Assyrians defeated Syria around 800 BC. And so this defeat opened Israel up for unprecedented prosperity under Jeroboam II. In fact, he is mentioned in Amos chapter 1, verse 5. Also, during this time, divine viewpoint sees something or the reality of the situation during the time of Amos. Amos was called from the southern kingdom, and he was commanded by Yahweh to go and speak to the northern kingdom. So, this is a very interesting development in prophecy. And so we can see some powerful things from Amos. He was not a professional prophet. He was called by Yahweh, and he was therefore given his message. He was empowered by God. And so within the person, within the very personality of Amos, the Devar Yahweh, that is the word of God, intimately shaped the prophet's message. And so using the personality of Amos, the God Yahweh spoke spoke to the injustice and spoke to the hypocrisy of the Northern Kingdom. And so Amos speaks the words of Yahweh. In fact, we read in Amos 1, verse 1, the words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa. What he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. And so we notice immediately in the text, in chapter 1, verse 1, we read that Amos saw words. And this expression is also used in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. So, the words in chapter 1, verse 1, where we read the words of Amos, in the Hebrew text, is the word Devar. Devar is a very fact, and of course, in the Hebrew, is only three consonants. The vowel points were added, of course, later. That is, the vowel points that indicate A, E, I, O, U, in our understanding. This word, Devar, is used in the Old Testament about 400 times. Devar, that is, means the word as invent. The word as invent. Devar also means the unity of address and action. This is what we will see within the prophetic ministry of Amos. Let me say also at this point, his name means load or burden. It is very, we have a very poignant and very pregnant message given to us here. Also, with regard to the word Devar, it is important to understand that God is speaking to the nation as a whole. He is speaking to King. He is speaking to the priesthood. He's speaking to the leaders of God knows exactly what is going on. Almighty, we are given to understand that there are no secrets there, and that God knows our secrets. The psalmist also states that before a thought comes into our conscious awareness, God already knows what we think. This is very different for us. That is, when one understands the serious nature of by omissions. that God knows all. It says this word omniscience does not really mean a surface or superficial awareness of events. Omniscience also means that God's understanding penetrates and fully comprehends the nature of events and activity. When God speaks of his understanding about his deep and penetrating understanding of humans as human beings, in the Old Testament uses the word yada. It is the word that's used of the Adam for having sexual awareness or sexual knowledge or intimacy of Isha, life, Ish and Isha. And so that word is God's understanding of its people and of its relationship with us. In the New Testament, we have the word gnosko, which means knowledge, and it is a knowledge gained through the Spirit. We grow in grace. We are to grow in grace. The word grace is a noun of action, as is the word agape, or love, and the word of pistis, or faith. All three words are nouns of action in the Testament. God's understanding of us, as it stated from the Revelation, in the messages of Jesus to the seven churches of Asia Minor, the word that's used for hell, for instance, I know your works, or thy work. The word know is poeta, and it means an absolute awareness, an absolute comprehensive penetrating awareness of one's activity or one's works. And so God, in the book of Amos, that is Yahweh, speaks to Amos, is to become incarnated power. He is the incarnated power of the Word of God. That is, God will use him, the Spirit of God will use Amos to speak to those who are engaged very selfishly, very destructive. They will not hear, nor do they want to recognize the words of Amos, because they live in a time of prosperity. They live in a time of plenty. And so Amos has been called of Yahweh to speak his words, that is, speak the incarnated words in a smooth speech. There's great economic success, and there is a powerful military. And so, Yahweh, that is the deep understanding of what it means to worship Yahweh and follow Yahweh, has been prophesied. So Amos speak God's word in a very difficult time. Now, please note that also in Amos chapter 1, in verse 2, we read, he said, that is, Amos said, the Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem, or Yerushalayim. The pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of Carmel withers. What a very powerful and passionate introduction. Tzag, the Lord roars. He speaks, the lions roar, as pounces upon its prey. So Amos brings this powerful word about the Lion of Judah. And he is ready to pounce upon its people because of their mockery, because of their delusional of their pragmatic people. As we go on, this is what the Lord says. My three sins of Damascus, even before I will not turn back my wrath. Damascus, of course, the capital of Syria. And God is going to talk about his judgment in verse 6 against Gaza. In verse 9, God is going to speak about where it's Tyre. Verse 11, he speaks against Edom. In verse 13, he speaks against Ammon. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he speaks against Moab. In other words, God is speaking against nations who have been engaged in crimes against. And so what we also learn in Amos is that Yahweh's presence and Yahweh's authority and Yahweh's rule extend beyond his own people. Yahweh's rule extends to all nations. And so crimes against humanity is what Amos speaks against. Chapter 1. And also beginning of chapter 2. Now, you and I see on various social information outlets, I should say, we see crimes, and we read about crimes against humanity, which God takes very seriously. You see a harem and want destruction of human life. As if people do not matter, as if people are nothing. The fierce bloodletting, the cold murder of others. And it seems that the politicians do not want to step in and help people who are experiencing these crimes. And Yahweh sees these crimes. These crimes are old. They have existed throughout humanity. There are, one can read the story of civilization by Will and Ariel Durant. One can read the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. One can read Josephus. There are many ways in which one can receive a knowledge of to understand that what's going on in our time exists from old. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, God turns his focus from the broad now, where he begins with the nations, and now he talks to his own people who had and possessed knowledge of him over the nations. God is going to the nation on the basis of crimes against humanity. God is going to deal with his own people in the another way, God is going to judge their crimes too, because they had possession of divine revelation. So they spend the gift, what they need to be true, what they understand, what's understood to be true. They sinned against this steadfast love, this God. They sinned against God's steadfast love. Chapter 2, verse 4. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Judah, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because they have rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his decrees. Because they have been led astray by false gods, that is, by the gods their ancestors followed. I will send fire on Judah that will consume the fortresses of Jerusalem. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar would come. Next, God speaks in verse 6 about judgment on the northern court. This is what the Lord says, verse 6. For three sins of Israel, even four, I will not turn back my wrath. They sell the righteous for silver, that is, slave traders, and the needy for a pair of sandals. In other words, they abuse the poor. They trample on the heads of the poor as upon the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. The poor never seek justice. The poor deliberately and want abuse. God sees this thing. This is in direct violation of the Mosaic law was given in the form of prophetic words, which is law stated in the imperative, and then the people were also given ceremonial law, religious law, the people were also given case law. This system, this comprehensive system, was designed to protect their lives. This comprehensive legal system is designed to protect them from disease. It was designed to protect their land. It was designed to protect their religious and spiritual lives. Those are complete. And so, notice also at the end of verse 7, father and son, it's the same girl, for that. So they profane my home. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink wine taken as a sign. So there was taxation, and there was abuse of taxation. And we see here father and son, youth and same girl. In their pagan worship, in their cult of prostitutes, were used and in the most ungodly way. Verse 9, I destroyed the Amorite before them. They saw this, though he was tall and as the cedars as strong as the oaks, I destroyed his fruit below and his roots, his fruit above and his roots below. I brought you up out of Egypt. I led you 4 years in the desert, you the land of the Amorites. I also raised up prophets from among you, from among your young men. Is this not true, people of Israel? You made the Nazarite drink wine and the prophet not to prophesy. So God speaks against the Northern Kingdom. So prophets were commanded to hush. So here is oppression from the top. Here is oppression of true prophecy. Here is oppression of truth. And so in order to enjoy, as it were, the freedom that they thought they wanted, those who spoke for God were oppressed because they did not agree of the spirit of the age. There is a powerful continuity in the words that we read in the name of and what we experience, what we are experiencing now. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take away the spirit of the boy. You have a strong and able military. God says, I'm going to take away your spirit. And they will not want to fight. Verse 14, the swift will not escape. The strong will not muster their strength. And the warrior will not save his life. The archer will not stand his ground. The fleet-footed soldier will not identify it, and the horseman will not save his life. Even the bravest warriors will flee naked that day, declares the Lord. Now what will happen is God will allow the Assyrians to come in and to besiege the Assyrians over the kingdom of Israel. They rush toward their own destruction. They gave up true worship that was false. They relinquished sheep for unreality. The incarnated word, which deals with, which embraces the unity of address and action, had now settled in their midst. And the people will come to understand the connection to this act. And the people will come to understand the connection that these shapes destiny. Yahweh reacts to the very deep sacred level that has been taken away from God's people in our day. So the people have been allowed to degenerate to the level of bestial behavior, and therefore they do not understand that they are spiritual and what is vitally necessary, that is a spiritual relationship with themselves, within themselves, has been stripped. Their consciousness have been have been compromised, or the conscience of the individual. We live in a day which we need a revival from the Spirit of God. We need to get back to God, that our country is. My name is Dr. Sarvich, have a wonderful day.